Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our public media friends across the region, bringing you the latest news of the area. I'm Carl Lengel. It is Wednesday, the 11th of February, 2026. Four Democrats competing for Montana's Western U.S. House seat met for their first public forum Tuesday. Montana Public Radio Shaley Ragar reports the candidates covered a wide range of topics from housing costs to immigration policy.
Montana College Democrats hosted the forum in Bozeman, bringing together the candidates vying for their party's nomination. The winner will advance to the general election and likely face incumbent Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke. The first question up for debate was whether U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, should be abolished. Ryan Bussey, the former Democratic candidate for governor in 2024, says the federal government gives far too much money to ICE.
Don't tell me we can't have universal health care when we're funding ICE like that. So yes, I believe it needs to be taken down and remade.
Russell Cleveland, a Navy veteran and a small business owner, says the agency should cease to exist and the immigration debate should focus on systemic change.
That means cutting the red tape, improving the immigration process in terms of processing immigrants into this country while maintaining firm borders.
Candidates were also asked about rising rent costs amid growing corporate ownership of residential housing. Matt Raines, an Army veteran and rancher, says the federal government needs to make more grants and public loan programs available to individual local homebuyers.
I mean, you still have to protect freedom at the end of the day, and so you can't come in and restrict corporations, and like that goes down a slippery slope.
Sam Forstag, a smoke jumper and union leader, says corporate regulation is the best path forward.
The problem that is woven through almost all of the economic problems that we're all facing here, it is the corporatization and the commodification of these basic goods like a roof over our head.
Political analysts rate the Western Congressional District as more competitive for Democrats than other races this cycle. In Helena, I'm Shaley Ragar.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon delivered a State of the State address to a joint session of the Wyoming legislature yesterday. As Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports, Gordon asked lawmakers to reconsider one committee's big cuts to the budget.
Gordon told a bustling room full to the gills with lawmakers that Wyoming's economy is, quote, hardy, more diverse, and better prepared to capitalize on the multiple opportunities now facing our state. But to continue that, he implored lawmakers to restore funding that was recently axed by the Joint Appropriations Committee.
I asked the legislature to reinstate my request for this technology upgrade, which is why I'm asking you to restore my recommendation for the summer feeding program. Simply cutting a budget won't lead to improvement, but a dialogue could. I encourage you to restore my recommendation.
Gordon's address was followed by Chief Supreme Court Justice Lynn Boomgarden, who decried, quote, rhetoric suggesting retaliation or defunding of courts because of the outcome in one high-profile case. That's an apparent reference to the High Court's decision to block two near-total abortion bans last month. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements in Cheyenne.
The first meeting for the state's licensing reform task force kicked off in Helena Tuesday. It's a group designated to reduce licensing requirements for certain industries to fill employment gaps. Governor Greg Gianforte says there are over 100,000 unemployed Montanans not seeking a job. He hopes reducing red tape will change that and help fill labor shortages in industries like healthcare, construction, and corrections. Task force members included a variety of healthcare industries like speech pathology. Land surveyors, engineers, and state government representatives comprise the rest of the group. The task force must submit a report with recommended changes to licensing requirements by September 2026. In 2024, just over 37% of Wyoming workers between 25 and 64 years old had a college degree or professional certification and earned more than their peers with a high school diploma. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service has more.
That's nearly 6 percentage points lower than the national average, according to Lumina Foundation's new A Stronger Nation report. Courtney Brown with the foundation says the report is not just about numbers or charts, it's an opportunity for policymakers and educators to create pathways for people to get the education and skills they need to succeed.
When more people can access and succeed in earning credentials of value, communities benefit, the economy grows, and more people are on a path to a good job and a good life.
Wyoming ranks 46th among the 50 U.S. states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico for workers earning at least 15% above a high school graduate's median paycheck. More Wyomingites with a bachelor's degree are meeting this benchmark than those with associate's degrees. In 2024, just over 53% of Wyoming's workforce had some post-secondary education, up from 18% in 2009. I'm Eric Galatas.
Water watchdog groups and tribes are suing federal environmental regulators. As Montana Public Radio's Ellis Julin reports, the suit challenges the federal approval of Montana's new water quality standards.
The new law changed how the state measures nutrient pollution in waterways. State regulators must now use narrative standards, which rely on metrics like fish health or the water's appearance to determine quality. The state previously relied on numeric measurements of the amount of nutrients in the water. Too many nutrients can cause harmful algal blooms or fish die-offs. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency approved the changes last fall. Flathead Lakers, Upper Missouri Waterkeeper, and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes say that approval is illegal. In their lawsuit filed late last month, the groups say EPA violated the Endangered Species Act and the Clean Water Act by approving subpar standards and not using the best available science. Kobe Gerke runs Flathead Lakers.
Moving to undefined, unagreed upon, non-science-backed narrative standards is just something that DEQ and the legislature chose to do on their own without the input of the citizens of Montana and without the input of the scientists.
Gerke added that this rollback could impair Montana waterways. In Missoula, I'm Ellis Julin.
An Idaho man has been sentenced to prison for stealing Montana artifacts. A news release from U.S. Attorney Kurt Almay reported 71-year-old Roger Edwards Hawks of Coeur d'Alene was sentenced last week by U.S. Magistrate Judge John T. Johnson 9 months in prison for stealing artifacts. He also pled guilty to one count of removing archaeological resources. The government alleged in court documents that Hawks entered the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center in Great Falls on September 14th of 2024 and stole two historic weapons. One was an authentic, antique English single-shot black powder Mortimer pistol, and the second a knife in a leather beaded sheath. Both were made in the late 1700s or early 1800s. Both items were later recovered. The news release said Hawks has a history of theft that spanned more than 40 years in California, Nevada, and Idaho. Billings and Yellowstone County residents have the opportunity to influence the future of the Billings Public Library. YPR's Kay Erickson has the details.
Periodically, the Billings Public Library updates its strategic plan. And Library Director Kelsey Rubich says the latest plan is underway, starting with public input.
And I'm really looking to hear from folks in Billings and Yellowstone County about what they think we're doing well, what we can improve on, and really kind of longer term, what they'd like to see the library do for our community in the future.
There are a variety of ways to participate. There's an online survey through the end of February, paper surveys that are available at the library, and the bookmobile. The library is also hosting 3 in-person workshop sessions at the library on Wednesday, February 11th at 4 p.m., Friday, February 13th at 6 p.m., and Wednesday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m., Rubich says all ages are welcome at the sessions. Data from the surveys will be compiled by a committee of the library leadership team and board members. The library director says the plan is to develop a draft to be presented to the library board at its May meeting. Final approval during the June meeting with implementation in the new fiscal year on July 1st. Rubich says their goal is to continue to build a library that truly reflects the needs and ideas of Billings and Yellowstone County. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
The historic Medicine Hot Springs estate is set to be auctioned to highest bidder without a reserve on March 10th by Elite Auctions. This historic property, known as Medicine Hot Springs, spans 119 acres in Montana's Bitterroot Valley, where the television series Yellowstone was filmed. It's set in one of the nation's premier fly fishing and hunting regions. The estate includes a nearly 3,800-square-foot main residence, 12 guest cabins, and a gathering space known as the East Game Lodge with a pool table, loft bedroom, kitchen, and bathroom. Additionally, the property holds senior geothermal water rights from 1908 when it operated as Medicine Hot Springs, a healing bathhouse. The chemical-free hot springs flow consistently at 94 to 114 degrees Fahrenheit, naturally filling the pool, hot tub, and historic soaking tubs. Medicine Hot Springs is known for exceptional elk, white-tailed deer, and mule deer hunting. The nearby Bitterroot River consistently ranks among the nation's top fly fishing destinations. Lost Trail Powder Mountain Ski Resort is just 30 minutes south, with extensive ATV and recreational trails nearby. The property is currently listed for close to $8 million. Montana linebacker Solomon Tuliapupu was granted a ninth year of eligibility by the NCAA. He will return in 2026 alongside sixth-year offensive lineman Dylan Jemtegard. The school announced Tuliapupu's return on a Monday post on X. He was sidelined for his entire undergraduate campaign at USC after two surgery-requiring injuries impacting his foot and knee. Tuliapupu's first year at Montana in 2025 was just his second full season in 8 years. He will play under new Montana coach Bobby Kennedy, who is succeeding Bobby Hawk. That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.